If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Governor Newsom in D.C. today. He will meet with the president over fire money. PCH closed again because of the rain. We can expect it to keep on closing. But first, some more progress in these fire cleanups.
When the Eaton fire blew up in the Altadena area, several schools were in its path. And now debris removal is underway for those schools to try to get them closer toward the rebuilding process. We get more live this morning from our John Baird.
I am at Loma Alta Elementary School. It's behind me to the right. It's gutted. And across the street to the left, we've got a bunch of homes that have been destroyed. Now, this cleanup effort is actually phase two. Phase one is when the EPA comes in and removes the most dangerous and toxic items from burned properties. That makes it safe so that they can come in and start doing phase two, removing everything else. And that's what the Army Corps of Engineers is tasked with doing, and they're here beginning work at the school this morning. Now, local officials were initially really upset that the EPA set up a phase one collection site near Irwindale, more than 10 miles from this Eaton fire zone. They didn't want the stuff nearby. But Azusa Mayor Robert Gonzalez tells me this morning, this is a good thing that they're moving on to phase two already.
As we understand it, you can't do phase two until you complete phase one. So that's a good sign that, you know, they're moving through this quickly. And so those efficiencies are happening. So, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, it needs to get done.
He tells me he's just glad that the phase two collection site will be here in the fire zone itself instead of miles away in their own backyard. Now, the Army Corps of Engineers will eventually move on to clearing debris from homes, and the process could take a year or longer.
EPA, yeah, has been on the ground for a little more than a week now in these fires, working on that hazardous stuff. And we're going to hear more from them and the local and the state and the federal workers involved at the press conference. They do them Wednesdays now. That'll be at 8, so you'll hear that live right here. But here's some more from our Craig Figner.
There have been an enormous number of questions about the toxic materials at the Eaton and Palisades fire disaster sites, how they'll be handled, moved, and exactly where they'll end up. We are expecting a morning briefing not only from Los Angeles County officials, but also the feds who are helping out. And we got a little bit of a clue about the magnitude of this recovery effort from the brand new administrator of the EPA. His name is Lee Zeldin. He was on CNN.
Right now in Los Angeles, EPA has just launched what is the largest wildfire cleanup in the history of the EPA. We have over 1,100 people in the field cleaning up hazardous materials, showing up, working hard, and making the American public proud.
Lee Zeldin, again, the brand new administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency under the Trump administration. During his confirmation hearing, one thing he said that stood out was that he believes he has a moral responsibility to be a good steward of the environment. I'm Craig Figner, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Stretch of PCH expected to remain closed through Friday because of the rain. And Brian Ping tells us won't be the last time the road will be closed in the fire zone.
The head of LA County Public Works says we can expect, quote, many, many closures until they finally clear all the debris and rehabilitate the land in the fire area. Mark Mastrella says people who rely on the highway are going to have to learn to live with it.
This is one of those times when we really got to think community over ourselves. As individuals, I want people to be safe. That is our job, is to protect people. It's a risk decision to drive up PCH on a nice clear day right now. It's even riskier if you're driving up it when it's raining. So we're using our best judgment when to close it. And I just ask for patience for community of Los Angeles, specifically the Malibu and the Palisades communities, the Santa Monica communities. This is going to be a long haul. It's going to require a lot of patience.
Pastrella says they hope to have the debris area cleared and Pacific Coast Highway back to normal status within a year. I'm Brian Ping, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Still got the rain across a lot of Ventura County into the San Fernando Valley, parts of Malibu as well. It'll taper as we go on through the morning, and the next round is Thursday night into Friday morning. 20 minutes of nonstop news are brought to you by Oseron Law, the injured workers hotline. Palisades fire devastated most of the Palisades, right? But also the big impact on Malibu. Again, PCH closed this morning because of the rain. Malibu Mayor Doug Stewart is on the line.
Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, Mike and Vicki.
So I understand you drove PCH this morning just to sort of check things out. How's it looking?
Well, I didn't go to the closed area, but I was on PCH this morning in Malibu Canyon, and the roads are open. It's wet. The rain has been modestly favorable, so I didn't see any debris or anything that the preparations didn't handle. So far, so good.
Okay, so far so good. Where are we on the cleanups? Don't have to tell you this, but there's been pushback to where to process the hazardous debris, right? The EPA stuff at a couple different areas. And then at this proposed site right over by you guys at the Civic Center, you had the meeting, I think, on Monday, and there were a lot of unhappy people. Have you talked to the EPA? Have you gone into this more?
Well, I think everybody was unhappy about that. EPA, I'm going to say, surprised us on Sunday with a request to be at the Civic Center area, right in the heart of schools and people that are living there close by in houses. Just unfortunate. But we've had the conversations with the EPA, as well as our county leaders and our elected leaders at the state level. And I think you're going to see a resolution on that coming out shortly, if not today.
Is that resolution going to involve putting some of that debris in Malibu?
Well, I'd rather not comment on that. Let's let the announcement take care of that.
One of your colleagues on the council, though, had said he thinks L.A. had a hand in this behind the scenes, L.A. trying to keep the debris out of L.A., and they were fine with it being there. Do you share that viewpoint?
No, I don't think anybody's got any clandestine approaches on this. I think it's really just a case of everybody trying to do the best for their communities, trying to get this done as quickly as possible. And more than anything else, we've got an environmental disaster on our hands here if we let this toxic materials stay from the burns or the hazardous household goods. So we're just trying to get this fixed as soon as we can.
Speaking with the mayor of Malibu, Doug Stewart. So let me come back to that question I asked you, which you said you didn't want to answer. Let me ask it in a different way. When the answer comes out about where the debris goes, and I asked you, will it go to Malibu? Will people accuse Malibu of being of NIMBYism?
I don't think so. I think we're all trying to get this cleaned up as fast as we can. And I think best sites are what needs to be done. EPA didn't have the property at the center of Malibu as being their first choice. And we're trying to help them get to where they wanted to be in the first place.
Do you feel that you're getting the attention that you need there? Are you getting what you need? Because, again, and we led into this with the obvious, is it's a Palisades fire. Most of the Palisades devastated. But residents in Malibu and right along the beach there and homes burned in Malibu, are you getting what you need? And people, do they think about you enough?
They do. And we're getting great cooperation. We're on a first name basis with the EPA and all the county officials and everything. Everybody's working hard on this. This is no shortage of effort. It's really a case of everyone trying to do the right thing and get it done as quickly as we can. Most of all, to protect the environment and get our citizens and residents back in their homes.
And you said the power's been coming back on in some areas?
Power's back on, except for the actual burn areas. I think there's generators at the places that need to be operating, like gas stations and so forth. But for the most part, everybody's got the utilities back, internet and so forth. So we're moving back to somewhat a level of normal. Just the access and the burns are just a real problem, and as you can imagine.
Okay, but so far so good with the rains. Malibu Mayor Doug Stewart, thanks as always for coming on and talking to us.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, we're going to tell you what kind of vehicle is considered to be the safest in a crash and a potential candidate for governor taking himself out of the race. Those stories and more as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Well, it changed their mind. Postal Service reversing a decision to stop taking packages from China and from Hong Kong. Here's CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The Postal Service had suspended accepting packages. It now says it is working closely with Customs and Border Protection to come up with a plan for collecting the new tariffs on China to ensure the least disruption. Private shipping companies like FedEx will also have to adjust to the new rules. Low-value parcels from China had been exempt from tariffs.
Stoppage would have potentially created a bunch of disruptions for some of the online retailers.
More on what Elon Musk has been up to in D.C.
The world's wealthiest man, Elon Musk, has sidelined career officials, gained access to sensitive databases, and even shut down the U.S. Agency for International Development, prompting protests in Washington.
You're a nasty fascist nerd.
On Capitol Hill, Senator Richard Blumenthal.
It's not disruptive, it's destructive, and it's to his personal benefit. He is stealing information.
Musk is working for Trump as a special government employee, which means he's not subject to the same ethics and disclosure rules that are typical of government workers. While critics argue that all of this is happening without congressional approval, Republicans say the moves are part of the president's process. Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina says to let the process unfold.
We've got oversight. If he goes too far, I'll be the first person to step up. He went too far.
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The AG from California, Rob Bonta, deciding not to run for governor in 2026. Instead, he says he's going to focus on keeping his current job and will support Kamala Harris if she runs. He told Politico he plans to run for re-election as attorney general, expecting these legal battles against the Trump administration. Already a lot of Democrats thinking about running, the lieutenant governor and then former mayor of L.A., Antonio Villaraigosa.
The Cal State system says it's going all in on AI. Here's David Welch.
CSU says it's partnering with some of the world's biggest tech firms to create an AI-powered higher education system. CSU Chancellor Mildred Garcia says the new initiative not only helps students learn, it also prepares them for a changing workforce that's more and more reliant on the emerging technology.
They'll be using these tools to do critical thinking, to be creative.
Companies like Google, Adobe, and Intel are lending their expertise, and Leah Belsky with OpenAI says her firm is rolling out an educational version of ChatGPT.
It is not only the largest deployment of ChatGPT in education, but it is the largest deployment of ChatGPT anywhere in the world.
Belsky says chatgpt.edu is available to over 500,000 CSU students and faculty, and the custom software is designed specifically for CSU classrooms.
This is a profound step forward to make sure that every student around the world, and specifically at CSU, has access to this new intelligence.
I'm David Welch, KNX News 97.1 FM.
New study looking at the connection between the size and the safety of cars and trucks.
A midsize SUV or pickup is the safety sweet spot, says Sam Montford, a statistician with the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. He looked at crash data.
What this study found is that the protection you get from getting a bigger vehicle tops out at around 4,000 pounds. But the risk that you pose to people you crash into keeps going up.
Recent design changes have also added more protection for those in smaller vehicles. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
LA County is pumping more money into fighting gender-based violence. Bob Brill tells us it is an issue that many people underestimate.
The county will give $2 million to Southern California Grantmakers, a philanthropic group which deals with gender violence. Statistics show 800,000 adults in the county reported physical or sexual violence by an intimate partner. The CDC says nationwide, one in two women and more than 40% of men in the country also experience such violence. The contract offers preventative services in four categories: healthy relationships, education and training, engaging men and boys, innovative programs to engage LGBTQ plus youth, and economic empowerment strategies for girls. I'm Bob Brill, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Doctor at the women's prison in Chino being sued for allegedly abusing patients for 7 years. Six women filed a civil lawsuit earlier this week accusing the only full-time gynecologist of forcing unnecessary exams. One woman took it upon herself to go cell to cell, interview the other inmates about their exams with the doctor, taking notes. Spokesperson with corrections telling the LA Times they can't comment, but the 70-year-old is no longer having direct in-person contact with the patients. Lawyers will talk about a possible class action lawsuit later this morning.
A new survey shows fewer Americans are satisfied with how the country treats gay and lesbian people. Gallup's Mood of the Nation survey found 51% of people are happy with their acceptance, but that is the lowest since 2013. The survey also found a gap between political parties, with more Republicans satisfied than Democrats. And while satisfaction with gay and lesbian acceptance has dropped, Americans are more pleased, they say, with military strength, quality of life, and women's rights, but unhappy with taxes, corporate power, and education. So President Trump is suggesting that the U.S. take over Gaza and redevelop it.
I don't want to be cute. I don't want to be a wise guy, but the Riviera of the Middle East, this could be something that could be so bad. This could be so magnificent.
Yeah, he's also suggested that the Palestinians leave Gaza and move to other places like Egypt and Jordan. We talked about it with Brian Katulis with the Middle East Institute and asked, where did the president get the plan to take over Gaza?
Yeah, I think it comes from his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, had floated some ideas like this, mostly in the private sector. But the thing I'd say, and I just came back late last night from the Middle East, is that Trump's comments, the earlier ones on Palestinians going to Jordan and Egypt, they were not only rejected by top leaders I met with in the region, they were laughing at Trump behind his back because it's not going to happen. Like, it's one of these things similar to what I think he's saying about Canada becoming the 51st state and Greenland and all of this other stuff. They read it for what it is. And they heard similar statements in his first term when he said things like America was going to take all of Iraq's oil or that Saudi Arabia would pay for the reconstruction of Syria. None of those things happened. And they also, you know, it's just not a realistic proposal. It's, if anything, he hasn't displaced Palestinians, but he certainly has displaced our discussion about what's realistic here.
And there's no real mechanism for even doing something like this, right? There's just 2 million people, and there are international laws and there's norms. And as you point out, these other countries, they're definitely not taking anybody in now.
Well, the Palestinians don't want to leave, right? I lived and worked in the Gaza Strip and West Bank in the 1990s. I'm in touch with a lot of my friends who are still there, despite it becoming this devastated war zone. This is their home, right? And they're not going anywhere. So this is one of these things that, like on many policy fronts, Trump is unserious. He does make statements that are provocative, that aim to jar the debate. And it's sort of interesting. And it creates this little mini media frenzy that you and I are engaged in right now, but it doesn't matter. And that's the thing, is that he's squandering, I think, some real potential to create linkages between people in the region to achieve the Israel-Saudi normalization accord, which is his highest aspiration. This actually sets that back and takes him further away from his goals.
What does this do to the ceasefire and hostage negotiations if the message now is, you know, no matter what happens, we want to come in and take over?
Probably not much, because people discount it so heavily as just a nonsense proposal. And I actually think, my understanding is that at the working level and with people who were in town with Prime Minister Netanyahu from Israel yesterday, that's the thing they're really focused on, which is continuing the ceasefire, getting hostages home. That's a top priority. President Trump has made it himself, but I think the Biden team helped effectuate this. So I think it doesn't do that much because it does not present a realistic proposal about where do we go from here. Most people, I think, will discount it, perhaps probably in the Israeli government as well, because you'd need cooperation from them as well as Egypt. Egypt has rejected this. So it's sort of similar to a lot of things he does on the domestic front and other things. And I don't mean to sort of dismiss it so roundly, but again, people are laughing at the United States in the Middle East, where I just came back from.
Middle East Institute's Brian Katulis there.